This episode of Stars and Characters brought to you by Stylin' Online T-Shirts and Accessories. Stylin' Online offers hundreds of Star Wars T-Shirts, vintage reproductions, humorous shirts, classic logo and character shirts, and much, much more. Stylin' Online also offers a huge variety of shirts and accessories from TV, movies, sci-fi, horror, anime, cartoons, Disney, gaming, and music. To check out Stylin' Online's huge collection of Star Wars T-Shirts and more, visit our website at www.swic.neozaz.com and click on the Stylin' Online link on the front page.
Thanks, buddy, for peeing.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Zam Wessel.
You still don't know how to say it. You're looking at me like I know. Look at Tim. Put the Skype camera on.
Tim, what are you wearing?
No.
Zam Wessel. Appears in episode 2, Attack of the Clones of the Star Wars Saga. My name is Christosk.
Christofferson?
Close. This comes from the name Kradosk.
Keep explaining.
Well, yeah, I'm going
to the bar when I'm back.
A question mark.
Please. What's it rhyme with? Dosk?
Bosk?
This is Bosk's papa.
Bosk's is the funniest Bosk's word of that whole sentence was Bosk's.
Bosk's daddy. I am the daddy of Bosk.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Today I am joined by Matt Berry. This is a reach.
Matt
this
Berry. Is that Matt a parody Berry. Of Fred Berry? Is this what's happening in character?
Matt, do you have a tape recorder under your pants and are tape recording the Doobie Brothers?
That's right. Yep. And munching popcorn. That's all you can hear on the recording.
Are you going to ask what that is from or no?
Nobody cares.
It comes from Maberry, ancient order of warrior knights from the planet that Zam's from.
Ancient Chinese.
And Matt is a little, to me, he's an ancient warrior.
Why is that? Because I'm older than you? I'm old? What the dang. You know,
Wait to hear this one. This is the old time. If it rhymes, you know, if it's you know, D&D works for me. Am I right? Toxic Dart Dave.
I love it.
Toxic Dart Dave.
Those are actually some of my favorites, I think.
Yeah. Toxic Dart Dave. All right. And Sebolta Tim.
Sebolta Tim?
Sebolta.
Is that
a male Doug? It's not Sebulba. There's one out there called Sebolta.
Is he the cab driver?
I just saw Sebolta and I took it.
Okay.
Sebolta Tim.
Yes.
Give us some facts about Zam. That's a weasel.
All right. Well, Zam, she is a shape-shifting bounty hunter from the planet Zolan. Her species is Clawdite, but you know they can change their shape around. They're pretty much sort of stuck with humanoid type characters. They can only really change their shape in terms of similarly built other species and people. As we said, she grew up on the planet Zolan. And what was the name of that warrior species?
The warrior species was Maberry.
Maberry. Now, her planet Zolan. They were a very warlike type planet. So they were pretty well trained in combat. And as Zam was growing up, she also trained in a lot of different types of combat because her goal was to gain employment in a security type field of work. But as with the universe. She would find herself in the around people of lower classes, I guess. So she actually started to support herself by taking on bounty hunter work as well. And it was through her bounty hunter connections that she came in contact with Jango Fett. That's really where her real story starts. Is just her affiliation with Jango.
Now I'm confused about this this shape-shifting thing. Is that
yes.
Is that alien-looking, that catcher's mitt face that she has, is that her real face? So the human face is
her fake face?
Yeah, it's like
that's what I always thought.
Is that the way it works?
Yeah, yeah. She normally looks kind of like a greenish lizard that we see her when she dies in the movie. She reverts back to her original form, I guess.
Yeah, that's how I took it. It's like she couldn't hold the fake face, the whatever you call it, the facade face anymore. So she died into her reverted into her natural state.
Okay. Can she change more than just her face, like other organs?
Like
I don't think.
Why
she
would
has
you
an
want
ability...
her to do that, Chris?
Well, no, not that I would want her to, but if you're going down and then all of a sudden it's the crying game.
Oh yeah.
Soon I'm gonna tell the moon.
How do you know the song?
Crying game.
Well, that's this shape shifting technique is used a lot. Even in, and I think it's used well in a lot of things, like in the X-Files, they used it a lot.
Yeah.
Like the face-changing aliens and that kind of stuff like that. And it's a shame, I guess, that she died as quickly as she did, because you never got to see the extent of it. She's like one of the only people that I can really recall in Star Wars that does this, and it's a cool power to have.
It is.
And it doesn't get used, really.
And I like the kind of limitation Tim described, where she can't really, you know, get larger or smaller. She's kind of stuck with four limbs and a head type thing. There was a shapeshifter in the one Star Trek series, Deep Space Nine. Now, I mean, I'm not bashing it at all. In fact, I like it a lot. But that was one thing people talked a lot about, was that character could turn into like a glass on a table, then a painting on a wall, then like an entire ship. It's like, what size is he? You know, how does he get so smaller and so much bigger and whatnot? I like the limitation of she's a shapeshifter, but she can't really be, you know, she can look like another humanoid. I like that limitation.
Yeah, she's not like a transformer. She's not a robot that can turn into a truck. She's a humanoid that can turn into another humanoid, basically. Right. Yep.
Why did you feel the need to change her face for this hit? Like, who gives a crap if she's got the lizard face or a pretty human face? What difference did it make for this? I'm confused about that.
You know, that's a good question, because if she was worried about being recognized, you think she would have dressed a little less low-key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she had that little bib that she could string across her face. I mean, what was the point of changing?
That's true, yeah.
What was the point of changing faces?
I think
this.
I think she preferred to be in the human form. Even in a galaxy far, far away, I think that there's a certain level of speciesism, and she would do most of her business in the human form, because it was just, I guess, it was easier for people to accept her as a human.
If she had been the alien, she wouldn't have got the job, kind of thing.
There may not have been as many opportunities for her as a Klondike, in terms of her look. But again, I think that was always her selling point. It's like, yeah, I can change my face. Watch, bloop, bloop, there I am.
I actually remember when I first saw that, and that she turned real fast and she changed. I was like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, yeah, and I remember that too.
I'm like, what was? I thought I was seeing something for a second.
Yeah, the same thing here. I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me, which I think was probably part of the original plan when they decided to do that, is they wanted to make people think, did I actually just see what I just saw? Yeah. Now the harem thing she puts in front of her face, that's partly to alleviate some of the, I guess it takes a lot of concentration to keep on a form that's not your natural form. So she would put that across her human face so that she wouldn't necessarily have to constantly change her entire face. She could just change parts of her face if she wanted to.
Kind of like sucking in your gut when a good-looking girl walks by?
Exactly.
Okay.
Hello and goodbye.
I was going to say, I suddenly understand that entire premise.
Does she have to, like, see what she's changing into? Should she change into it? You know what I mean? Or she just changed into whatever she thinks looks good.
Right. It's like, is it like...
Is there a movie or something?
Is it like Mystique in the X-Men? She like...
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to see what you're changing into first to get it all perfect, or...
Right. I don't know. Okay. I'm not sure if it's like a complete imagination thing. Like, I want to have red ears, a blue nose, and two green boobs. You know, who knows?
Two. How about eight?
Darn it all. Yeah, I just this was a cool idea that Star Wars never really went into, and it's underused here, and kind of would have been cool, I think.
Yeah.
Oh well. Too bad.
Well, move along.
Now she came in contact with Jango Fett, and as I said, that's really where her bounty hunting career really started to take off. Her and Jango, they initially met because they were going after the same bounty, and they both, they were competing, and that's really where they met. You know, and the specifics of that, I think that the guy eventually got away, and neither of them were able to actually collect on the bounty. But that started a working relationship that Jango and her had, and she would often assist him on things. Or one of the things that he was good at is he would subcontract out bounties. Like he would take a bounty, but then he would hire her to actually do most of the legwork, which is really where we see here in episode 2. She has, if you guys go to the Wikipedia page, there is a ridiculous amount of detail about like every single mission that she ever went on with Jango Fett or otherwise. And it was kind of the same thing as we had with 4LOM, where it went into like ultra detail.
Yeah, I'm wondering why these bounty hunters, why there's this need to describe every second of every bounty they've ever done on this thing.
The only thing that really of real interest that I saw, and again, and I didn't go into too much detail, and we'll probably talk about this because down the road, I think we are going to do an episode on this guy, but Jedi Master Yariel Poof. He's the guy with the real long neck and the teeny
Oh, yeah, we got to do him. Yeah, we got to do him.
Apparently, they have some involvement with his death. Mm. They were going after this little statue called the Infant of Shaw. and Jedi Master Yariel Poof was collateral damage during that mission.
Shaw?
Wait, inside? They said poof.
Why would I'm confused by this subcontract. I mean, I understand the concept, but if this you're talking about one of the most important maybe hits on a person in the history of the Empire or the fledgling Empire, why would a bounty hunter like Jango Fett subcontract it to anyway? Like to me, this is the kind of thing you take care of yourself.
Maybe as like a guinea pig or something. Like maybe to if she dies, oh well.
But the murder of Queen Amidala, or what was she at that point? A senator?
Senator, yeah.
Senator Amidala. Like, that was a big deal. Why pawn it off on one of your lackeys? Like, that's something you take care of yourself.
Good question.
Well, she had the ability to shapeshift. So, really, the plan was to blow up the ship and kill her with it.
Right.
So, she shapeshifted to her attractive human self and was out there on Naboo. And she sort of sweet-talked her way onto Padme's ship and planted an explosive on there. And she was using her human form to sort of, you know, play nicey-nice with a guard, a Naboo guard. And so she was able to get on the ship and place an explosive that she could remotely detonate when they arrived on Naboo. I think they wanted her death to be somewhat public. So it would make an impression. And so this is where we see her work at the smack dab beginning of episode 2. We see the ship, her ship explode as it gets to Naboo or Coruscant. I'm sorry, to Coruscant. And she killed everybody on board. So in essence, the plan would have been a success, except that the queen or the senator that we see on the ship wasn't actually Padme. It was her decoy, Corday. So everybody that was on the ship was killed, and it would have been a success had Padme actually been on that ship.
Right.
That's why she had to go, and they had to go to Plan B.
Why did she? We probably don't have an answer. Why did she go to all that trouble to shapeshift into someone completely different and sneak on a ship? Why didn't she just shapeshift and then want the helpless handmaidens kill them, and that way she'd be next to Padme at any given point and take care of her right then and there?
Yeah.
If she had done that, there'd be no Star Wars.
Oh, I know that. That is the that is the bottom line answer, but
the bottom line, she's a pretty crappy bounty hunter.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, overall she's not very good.
No.
And so if she can change into any person out there, Jang was almost like the thing that changes any kind of water.
What, the Wonder Twins?
Yeah. Right? If she can change to any kind of, you know, not animal, just person, I guess he's the turn into a bucket of water.
Form of
an icicle.
Man.
But yeah, she so there the plan B was to use these points to was to kill her with these poisonous centipede wormy things called cahoons.
Cahoons?
Cahoons.
Check out the cahoons.
At least I think that's what it's called, what they're called.
We're gonna cahoons. Take that. We'll use that.
And that, you know, and as again, this is all stuff we see in episode two. And the plan was thwarted by the keen Jedi senses of her protectors, Anakin and Obi-Wan. So, and then we go and we see Anakin chase after Obi-Wan, jump out a window and land and catch onto some flying little droid thing. And then there's the big chase that ensues that we see in the thing. And that's really where, isn't that where we hear like a guitar as a sound effect?
That's when people got upset. There was an electric guitar.
I actually watched that scene today, and that is a really bad scene.
Yeah.
Of them talking together and, you know, yes, master, and diving off. And
why?
I just didn't. I would just like, it was like cheesy, I thought. Really just.
Doesn't bother me.
All right.
The sound effects during that chase take me out a little bit. There's something that the sound effects during that speeder chase just bother me. I could never get into it and still can't. Mm. Not a fan.
Mm. I can see why Jango Fett, like, you know, pawned off this job on another bounty hunter, because using worms to kill somebody is a stupid idea. He didn't want anything to do with this. He's like, I don't want this in my reputation. Here's Am. I got a job for you.
Yeah.
It's a little high concept, I think.
Go change yourself into something and drop these worms off to room 2B.
2-1B.
Oh.
But yeah, then the chase ensues and she crashes, and then they track her to the Outlander Club, which is supposed to be, I guess, the episode two equivalent of the cantina, even though there aren't really many aliens in there.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yep. Oyster.
And again, I can't stand the Outlander Club. I feel like I'm in Dave and Buster's when I watch that.
Well, that's what it is. It looks more like a sports bar because on the background on those screens, there are some kind of sporting events going on. There's like one thing with like machines on wheels like bumping into each other. It kind of looks like football.
Well, I always heard there's a pod racing scene, and I heard a rumor it was an actual video game from back then. They were just...
it looks like the PlayStation 2 episode racer game. Funny.
So one, yeah, you, one you screen see had BattleBots, one had PlayStation.
So yeah, I mean, when I do watch the scene, I do look on those screens. And, yeah, there is that football game looking thing, but yeah, there is a speeder race on there, or a pod race going on too, which is cool.
Yeah, I don't mind that too much. I mean, I like the idea that it's like a sports bar, even if what's going on in there is kind of stupid.
I don't know what's going on with Dave lately. This is like a couple of things he doesn't mind about episode two of all episodes. What the hell?
I don't mind this one as much as the first one, and then episode three is pretty solid.
Well, in the whole scene when they're down there, that's supposed to be like the seedy underworld of Coruscant, but it looks like Universal City Walk to me.
Yeah,
it looks like Times Square, like a place I'd want to hang out.
Yeah, I didn't get that it was supposed to be seedy. I took it the way that you said, you know, the opposite way. Like I thought it was like a high class kind of place.
Oh.
Like, everybody's dressed up and everything. Like, if it's supposed to be seedy, they did totally fail. Because I thought it was like a nice place. And Ahmed Best hangs out there.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He's class.
Nothing but.
But in here, this is where Obi-Wan, I guess. I don't know if this is the first limb he ever cuts off. But he cuts her arm off when she's sneaking up behind him and shoot him.
Oh, we did?
And then you see.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Missed that. Holy
crap. It wasn't very clear. And the way that they, I think the way they did it, just to save like $10 on special effects, is I think they just had her tuck her arm into something like Napoleon style.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
to make you think that she lost an arm.
Yeah. If you slow it down, though, he cuts her and her hand with the gun in it goes.
Is this inside the Outlander Club?
Yeah.
Well, that makes me even more angry because now it's we are just seeing a direct copy of something iconic that he's just going to the well again and just putting a fresh coat of paint on it.
And you know what's weird doing all this? I actually read some kind of weird fact that in all these movies, if the arms or hands get cut off, it's the right one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
That's, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, Walrus Man, her, Luke, and Vader, they all have the right, supposedly, the right one.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
Well, this builds into to Obi-Wan's MO, at least, if you're going to take it into what Matt said and Ponda Baba, and many, many years later as an old man, he's still cutting people's arms off in bars.
What if it was like his like mother or somebody combining him? OB tapped him. He's like just turns around and swings at you.
He knew it was her.
I can sense it.
It's a non-lethal.
I saw the tape on his beard during that scene.
That beard, somebody mentioned it on our Facebook page. That his beard and hair through the whole movie are the worst. But there's when they go into the bar, like before they go in, Anakin's ready to storm in and
hold his lightsaber.
Like, he's like, patience. He's like, stop losing this, you tool bag.
Yeah. You know, like, this is your life.
Yeah. The beard that it looks like they just put glue on his face and somebody like threw a handful of hair at his face.
It's like that Will Ferrell SNL beard that he wears. What's that skit he does? Yeah, where he sings a song on the piano.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Rock Lobster.
Yeah,
that is the worst at any That's point. I think beard. That beard is in the movie when he's like, "This is your life."
That's a bad beard.
I'm just looking at nothing but that pubic hair on his.
Wasn't there a Jackass where they glued pubic hair to someone's
face?
Yes,
there was. That was in Jackass. That was the finale of Jackass 2. Yep. They tried to make the guy look like a terrorist. Yeah.
That's probably where they got the inspiration, I think.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah, he cuts her arm off.
Yeah. And
then you're right. They just don't show her arm when she's dying out there.
Yeah, so they Jedi business, and they drag her out to the alleyway. You'd think someone would come along just to say, what the hell was just going on? Someone would poke their head out that door.
Yeah.
But no, they're left pretty alone out there in the alleyway. And this is where she meets her end. She's about to give up the entire skinny on everything. So she doesn't do well. She doesn't do well under interrogation.
No.
But luckily Jango Fett's there to shoot her with a
That's right.
Luckily, Django's there to shoot a Kamido and Saber dart into her neck.
Ouch.
And she calls him a Sleemo. That's his last word. Or that's her last word. And then she.
Okay.
She dies.
That was my That was my number one question. This is like Matt in The Neverending Story. Like, what the hell does that woman say?
She says Moonchild.
What does she say? Like, as she's dying, she says something, and I've watched it several times, and I have no idea what she's saying.
I just remember Sleemo, which I guess is supposed to be like slime bag.
Okay. So she's saying that she's calling Jango Fett a name as her last word?
Yeah, she's cursing him with her final breath.
Okay. I had no idea what she was saying. That's the only reason I'm here today.
Davis left.
Yes.
And I was reading that Jango actually felt pretty bad about doing that.
Oh, come on.
It looked like
he felt some remorse, but you know,
I doubt that.
When you're a bounty hunter.
When? At what point? In the next 7 hours he had to live before he got his head chopped off?
He was flying back to Kamino. I was like, damn, wish I didn't have to do that.
He was sitting there. Yeah, he was sitting there in that arena going, man, I really wish I hadn't. And then, swoop, got his head cut right off.
So, yeah, he was a little sad about that. And that's pretty much the end of the Zam Wessel story. We got a little behind-the-scenes information. Zam was portrayed by an Australian actress by the name of Leanna Walsman. She's had a bunch of TV roles, even some American TV roles. Most of them I have not seen. The two that really popped out. Again, I haven't seen either of these, but I'm sure Matt has seen at least one of these. She's in an episode of The Beastmaster.
Mm. I certainly hope that's not the one you think I saw.
No.
Okay.
So where she plays a character by the name of Mora, and I saw the episode was called
Mora.
Mora, Morah. So I'm assuming she plays a major role in that particular story. And she also plays a character by the name of Borlick on an episode of Farscape.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen all Farscape. I don't know who that is, or knew that was her, of course, when I saw it. But I guarantee I did see it.
I haven't seen Farscape, but I did see it. It now is available on Netflix to stream, so I shall be watching that soon.
Cool.
Every role this lady plays, no one can pronounce it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know who I thought it was when I first saw it, and I swear to this day, it still is. This is like 1979-ish Valerie Bertinelli.
Huh?
I swear to God, it's a doppelganger.
She is very. She's a cute chick.
Yeah, yeah, she is.
Well, she really is.
Australian.
She's Australian, yeah.
Because I could not place the accent. I mean, she talks a couple of times. It actually sounds Irish to me. I had no idea.
She said Slimo?
Not that.
She does. Because she says something like, I hit the ship. And she kind of mush mouths.
What the hell was that? That sounded like hillbilly.
Sounded like what?
She kind of mush mouths it a little bit. I hit the ship. Yeah, I guess it is kind of hillbilly-ish.
You've been in Tennessee too long.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I thought she was Irish.
No, she's Australian. She's very attractive. Chris and I have seen her at least one of the celebrations. I know we got her to sign our episode 2 poster.
One of our first ones and all that. Yeah, on our the prequel posters that we had.
Yeah. And I had never actually seen a picture prior to that time. I'd never seen a picture of her with her hair. I always assumed she was a brunette, but she is a striking blonde. Very pretty. Initially, when the character was written, she actually was not initially a changelum, as Anakin calls her.
Changelums.
She was just supposed to be a human type character, and the whole concept of changing, being able to change your appearance, came in after principal shooting. So a lot of the stuff is post production, obviously, and reshoots. So yeah, she initially was not written to be a changing character, and she actually initially had a larger role that was edited down to a little bit more of a concise starting and ending point for her. And they have made action figures for her, and I actually have to say that I think the action figures are pretty cool, especially for me growing up with old G.I. Joe figures, because she had there was a character Zartan who is basically the same thing. He was able to change his appearance. He was like a master of disguise.
And he was Australian.
And yeah, that's right. and his action figure came with basically a rubber mask that you could put on and off his face to change his appearance. And her Star Wars action figure came with a little teeny tiny mask of her alien self, which I thought was pretty cool. I don't know. Chris, do you remember this figure?
Yeah, yeah, I do. I never got the prequel figures, but yeah, you can. I think she had two heads. You can pop one the changing one or her face on.
He's talking about G.I. Joe.
Oh, never does. No.
You're sitting here with the other action figures. I'm not choice. Even listening.
The only other thing I have is there was an episode in, I want to say season 2 or 3 of The Clone Wars, where there is another bounty hunter that is of the same species as her. But it's weird because that bounty hunter is able to actually more than change appearance, but change body mass. And in the changing process is also able to change clothes along with it. So, and they were working with, I'm blanking on his name now. It's not that important, but she was working as an assistant. She described herself as a Jedi to get access into the Jedi temple.
Well, Dave's on his iPod here, looking up a photo of her. And all I heard was him go, and he shows me, and it's not one of her best pictures.
They're on, you know what, on her Wikipedia page. Yeah. She does not have a very,
is that the one day?
She does not have a very, very nice photo. It's not the most complimentary picture of her.
No, her hair looks like it's in knots or something.
Yeah, yeah. On her IMDb and Wikipedia pages, you can really see.
Here's some better pictures.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it back out.
This is much better. Oh,
oh, jeez.
Yeah, I thought she kind of looks like Joan Allen. You know what I'm talking about?
A little bit.
I see Joan Allen now, not Valerie Bertinelli.
A chubby Joan Allen. Chubbier Joan Allen.
A big fat pig Joan Allen. Go ahead, just say it all right, Tim.
Well, I mean, Joan Allen is like two toothpicks, you know.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right, that's
Leanna's three toothpicks.
Oh, she's cute.
She's cute.
Yeah, she's very pretty.
Tim.
Yeah.
She's attractive. Just her Wikipedia. Someone's got to change that picture on the Wikipedia page. For
that's not good. There's that one again. What is that? Brr.
Brr.
That's the sound that picture makes.
With a sound bite. Brr. Ooh, that's one.
And once again, I'm looking at her character from Farscape, and much like many appearance characters in Farscape, completely unrecognizable. The makeup on that show, I don't even know if, you know, I don't know the history as far as awards or nominations or whatnot. They must have won or at least been nominated for some, because I forget how dang detailed these things are until I start doing things like this, looking up the actress and then looking at the character I played, completely unrecognizable. You would never catch her, pick her out in a million years on the show.
Well,
but that's all I got.
Oh, that was nice, Tim.
Well, thank you.
Great work. Great work, Sabolta.
Tim. Sabolta.
Sabolta. We're doing this? We don't have to.
Are you suggesting what I think you're suggesting?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I used to be the person most against this. Now I'm actually excited that we're doing it again.
I was thinking about reading the actual scene where she's at the bar and she gets whacked and dies. There's not much to it here, but I can do my best.
Let's hear it. Put your own style into it.
I need you to say it now.
Oh, you need me to introduce you?
Yeah, I do.
That's right. Chris, listen to this. He's got list of demands now to perform.
Seriously, all of a sudden you got like a...
I would describe the pictures as I read what's going on.
All right.
And
now...
See, that's nice.
We here at Star Wars in Character are proud to present Chris does a dramatic reading.
Here's the scene. Obi-Wan in a bar. And Anakin. Sensing something amiss, Anakin turns to the bar. But too late, as Zan whistle makes her move on Obi-Wan. It's Obi-Wan, however, who proves way he's one of the greatest Jedis in the world. Kazoot! Aye! That's the sound effect that it has here.
Kazoot?
That's
Kazoot?
Kazoot? K-Z-Z-Z-Z-T.
Isn't that the little green thing Fred and Barney could only see?
Kazoot. With his opponent disabled, Obi-Wan lowers his lightsaber and tends to the bounty hunter. Easy official business. Go back to your drinks.
That's the background still.
Chris's son is in there. He's in the bathroom.
The door wide open.
Rushing the toilet. What are you doing in there?
Out of here. All right. The Jedi escort Zan went to a nearby alley. This wound's gonna need some treatment. Do you know who it was you were trying to kill? The senator from Naboo. It was just a job. Who hired you? Tell us! The senator's gonna die soon anyway. Tell us now! It was a bounty hunter called Gawk! That's it.
Oh, that's it.
Exquisite acting.
Yeah, I was actually really getting into that.
It was better than episode two.
It was.
Next frame is Jango flying away. And guess what it says? Karoosh!
Karoosh.
Thanks, buddy, for peeing.
I have to pee.
We all gotta pee.
Except the monomon.
Yeah. Alright, what's next? I guess, is it time?
No, Matt has to do his website.
I have my website. Okay. Yes, it's the same site that I found the Tarful costume, because it's the RPF. Someone did a Zam Weasel costume and is like, I know I've done costumes before, but this one, I really like when they lay out step by step by step how they're and where they're finding these things. And whoever put this together did a great job of listing how they did this, including that like little, I don't even know what you would call it, like the little tile armor skirt thing she wears. They made that from scratch and like, you know, was doing side by side comparisons of all her publicity photos and what they put together. It's really, I thought it was really well done. I enjoyed reading it. So that's what I'm going to put up is this person's homemade Zamweasel costume on the RPF.com.
Nice. I think she's like one of the few female like cool costumes that are a little bit sexy and hot almost. Yeah. That's out at the costume areas at the conventions.
You've seen people dressed as her?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
now it's time.
Now it is time for Imperial Pursuit.
Yay, Imperial Pursuit.
All right, let's go through the scores before we get into this show's trivia. Chris?
Yes?
You're still in last.
Yeah, but...
But with the help of our new friend, Mark Newbold of Jedi News...
Which I would like to say, Mark...
I love you.
Mark was your surrogate last time.
Yes, he was.
And got you 5 points.
Thank goodness.
And, which puts you at -3.
Yeah.
Then tied for second, both Tim and myself have 0.
What?
Mm-hmm. And Matt in the lead with 7.
Mm-hmm.
Ow! All right, Chris, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Your category, well, you might as well keep your sound effects where they are.
Oh,
because your category is Han Solo. This is your favorite character.
It is, and I won't get this right.
This is your favorite character in the Star Wars trilogy.
Great kid! Don't get cocky!
I know. You know what? I got -3.
-3.
I will go for 3. So maybe I'll be... Is 0 a positive number? No, it's not.
No.
Zero's a non-existent.
I'll be almost at a positive number if I get it right.
You wuss. Go for 5. If he's your favorite character from your favorite movies that you know everything about...
You know what?
Which you don't... Oh, sorry. That was mean. I'm sorry.
I'm going for 5.
All right. See? A little goading? There you go.
So Matt may have just like totally Jedi mind tricked you. You know that?
He just did.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know. All right, are you ready?
Don't get excited.
I'm ready.
All right. In The Empire Strikes Back, with what command to Chewbacca did Han fly into the asteroid field?
And what command did he say?
What command did they fly into the asteroid field? Like, this is a...
Quote? Oh, my God. First thing I thought it was Fly Casual, but no, that's not that scene.
This is hard.
It's not even that movie.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as he said, how did he say something?
He turns to Chewie and he says this, and that's it. That's the command to fly into the asteroid field. Matt totally screwed you over. I'm telling you.
I know he says like they'll be crazy enough to follow us, but Han Solo says, and I quote.
9.
Swerve to the left.
Yeah.
Watch out for that one. I have no idea.
All right. Do you guys know this one? This is hard.
No.
Drop your socks and grab your gun.
The answer is, quote, set 271.
Wow. I'm sorry, Chris. I am.
Well, as soon as Dave was like, what did he say to Chewie when you fly? I'm like, yeah, fly casual. Until the asteroid. I go, asteroid field? Shit. I have no idea, so.
You're back at -8.
Ow!
And further proof, no one should ever listen to me.
That's right. That is right.
That's all right.
-8.
Do you know why? Do you know why that's all right?
Why?
I'm not going anywhere.
That's right.
What does that mean?
He's not going anywhere. I ain't going anywhere positive.
All right, well, that means it's Tim's turn.
All right.
And Tim, your category is C-3PO.
Where was Mark at when I was getting that in question?
Ooh. Said you were going to text Mark.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to go 4 points, please.
What is that?
4? All right. All right. 4 points. Let me see something before I do this here. I got to do some counting.
This is madness.
Dave's reading something.
All right. Tim?
Yes.
In the entire saga of Star Wars, C-3PO had 9 different owners.
Oh my God.
What?
You have to name 5 of the 9.
Over here!
Okay. Anakin, number 1. Then he gave it to his mother, Shmi, who in turn, I guess when she disappeared, ownership went to Kleeg. And possibly Uncle Owen's name was on that, but Uncle Owen comes back in later anyway.
What you?
Captain Antilles.
What are you talking about?
Luke.
This is madness.
Beru, I guess, would be an owner. 9.
Well, I only said 5 out of 9. You've already named 5 at this point. Are you sticking with those 5?
I will stick with those 5.
Okay. I'm going to read them to you in order.
Oh, I guess Padme owned her, too. Him, too.
Are you finished?
I'm done.
He's having a Tim Ritz moment.
Here are the owners in order. Number 1, Anakin was his maker. That's 1, and Tim got that. Then, Anakin's mother, Shmi.
Shmi.
Tim got that.
Mm-hmm.
Then, her husband, Kleeg Lars.
Kleeg.
Tim got those in order, mind you. The owner after that was Padme.
What is that?
Which Tim also said. Then Captain Antilles.
I've just about had enough of you.
Which Tim also said in his 5. Then Owen Lars.
This is madness.
Which Tim said after that in his 6. Then Luke Skywalker.
Did you hear that?
Then the only one that Tim really didn't say, Jabba the Hutt.
Oh.
Wow, yeah.
Then Luke again. And then according to this, after Return of the Jedi, Leia became his own.
Yeah.
I was afraid they were going to go into like the droids cartoon with that guy with the half hair, the red, or half his head was shaved. I thought they were going to go into that too.
Kid and play.
Tim, that was
kid and play.
That was really some fine answering there.
Tim, that was well done. You got 7 out of 9. What'd you bet?
4.
All right. You were positive 4. Nice going, my man.
Yay. That was a good question. I like that one.
And it was well answered.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How rude.
Matt, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Matt, your category is Princess Leia.
All right. Another one I'm not too sure about, so I'll stick with 3. So at best, I'll be tied with Tim when this is over.
Stop that.
All right, so you're sticking with 3.
Yeah, 3.
I love you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's your favorite thing, right?
I love you.
You play that for Matt at least once an episode.
I do, and I mean it too.
What's going on here?
It's not over yet.
Aren't they hard to find back there, the answer keys? I have a hard time.
Okay. Matt, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Here they come!
What was Leia's first comment to Han in A New Hope?
Leia.
And this is a quote.
To Han directly?
Yes. Leia's first comment to Han in A New Hope. I got a direct quote here. What did she say to him?
I have an idea.
I've seen bigger.
I know what it was. Half whole.
If it's directly to... Did you almost play it?
I don't know. I played it.
I think you did.
As soon as he played that, I shot him a look.
Yeah.
He's it's what's that part anyway?
Well, honestly, it was a debate between it was some rescue. Did you have a plan on getting us out of here, but was it directly to him considered? You came in that thing. You're braver than I thought. I guess she said that first one directly to him, because he says he's the brain, sweetheart. So if he answers her, I guess she was talking to him. So I'll stick with that.
So what is your final answer?
Some rescue. Did you have a plan to get us out of here?
This is some rescue.
That is incorrect.
Ah.
The answer is, and it's from that part, quote, looks like you've managed to cut off our...
I take it back.
So that is an incorrect answer. And what did you bet? Three?
Yeah, I bet three.
That means we have a tie.
Yes.
In first.
And Dave can take over now.
That is true. Between Tim and Matt, both have four. I have zero, and I've yet to go.
All right.
That was a hard question, too.
What the hell was that?
That's Luke in the back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Let me do this the right way for a change.
All right.
I'm gonna find the.
I'm excited that.
Come on, Dave. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm actually would really be happy to see you take a lead here too.
That's right. Both of us are in this.
I can't find anything.
There you hear me?
I hear you, Dave.
Right. I lost my runaway in two episodes, just like that. Like that. I was running away with this, and now it's gone.
Gone.
All right, Dave.
I'm ready.
Like money, my hopes and dreams.
Oh.
Category for you. Is
away from your weapon. I mean you no harm.
Yoda.
That's right. Pretty specific. Oh.
Yoda is who it is.
I hate Yoda.
What?
This is gonna be rough for me. He's one of my least favorite characters.
Are you serious?
I find him annoying.
Wow.
Alright, let's hear it.
I'm not sure what to think about that.
Alright.
I do like that sound effect though, especially when it pertains to Yaddle.
Yoda told Luke he needed to do something before he could, quote-unquote, meet Yoda.
Wait, what? Did Dave pick his point value?
Did not, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I didn't. I wasn't going to bet too many because I don't feel good with this. I was going to just do like three.
Three it is. Right. Yoda told Luke he needed to do something before he could, quote-unquote, meet Yoda. What?
Pull it out.
He had to do something.
Yes.
For meeting Yoda.
Yes.
All right. He goes and he's.
like a video game, yeah.
Video game after a while.
All right. He's messing with his stuff. He's throwing the food out of the thing. And he's like, that's my dinner. And then they have to go back and he's like, oh, Yoda, you seek Yoda. And he's like, you know him? Know him. Take you to him, I will.
There you go.
Take you to him, I will.
And then he walks back and they get to the hut and the snake crap.
The snake crapped.
And he's making him some kind of root soup or stew or something. And Yoda's like sighing because Luke is just whining and being obnoxious. What's the question again?
The question is, Yoda told Luke he needed to do something before he could, quote unquote, meet Yoda.
I think I know the answer.
What was it? In a way, the question, like, he doesn't know that he's actually Yoda yet. That's why it's, quote unquote, meet Yoda.
He told him to come.
Whoa. But I was already there.
Taking too long this is.
But he told him he's walking away and he's come.
Whoa. Put that in with the Yaddle thing.
Oh. That's your final answer?
My answer is come.
Come, baby, come, baby, come.
Now, here's what it says. Come to Yoda's home and eat. Now, you said the word come, and that is in the answer.
I think I'm giggling like a bunch of eighth graders.
I don't think that's enough.
Yeah, I was glad someone was with me.
Tim's right. I didn't I didn't come enough.
Because he says, but first, let's eat.
Eat.
For Jedis, it's time to eat.
All right, now I'm gonna get that one wrong. I guess I get partial credit. Do I get 1.5?
I was hoping you would. You kept on. You reenacted the whole scene, and you were like, "Oh, he said, come to me, follow me." They made beef stew. Like you said everything.
Beef stew.
You said everything, but
does he actually say you have? Does he actually say come and eat?
What's he eating?
Well, he basically says, "Take you to whom I will.
Come first, home and eat.
Let's eat."
Yeah, come. Right, but first, let's eat. Because it's right here is
eat.
Eat.
And Yoda gets pretty far in that like 1.5 seconds between let's eat and come. Because he's like half football field away.
You saw how fast he moved in episodes 2 and 3.
That's deep Roy.
Maybe he jumped on top of R2 and R2 flew. Because R2 flew in episodes 2 and 3 as well.
Mm. Here's a scene where when Yoda says it.
Luke.
What
is that his impression?
That was Luke doing Yoda.
Nice job,
Luke. Nice job, buddy.
All right, I got it wrong.
You got it wrong.
Back on the negative side.
So what, am I still last?
You're still last. You have -8.
Yeah.
I have -3, and Tim and Matt are tied at 4.
4.
This is a good game.
Story of every trivia round, Matt and Tim.
Oh. It is.
I'm sorry, that was mean.
Well,
I'm not sorry. I'm sorry. No, I am not for that, though.
Are you done being sorry?
I think so.
Okay.
Sorry. But
thank you for listening to our Star Wars character discussion about Zam Wessel. Did they say it? Or is it Weasel?
You just listened to Tim say it a bunch of times. You still don't know how to say it?
No. Tomato, tomato. Join us next time. We discuss...
That's the first time you said tomato, tomato, and it's actually appropriate. Because usually we say two different words. You're like, tomato, tomato. I'm like, no, because they're two different words.
Join us next time. We discuss... 2-1-B!
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.